Hello, welcome to The Debrief with Dave O'Neill, and about to do a gig with Ad Edmonds. I'm pretending we have another gig. So stay tuned. I've got to go pick her up. And, you know, maybe I'll meet Lloyd Langford. Anything could happen. Anyway, we go to do a gig.
Here we are, we've made it.
We did a gig.
We're on the road.
We did a gig in Romsey.
Yep. Now we're driving in the dark through the bush with microphones.
Yeah, not ideal. For Tom Gleason's school.
It was, and it was a good gig, I thought.
Oh, you were so funny.
You were the funniest.
Come on. Gleason's pretty funny.
He's funny.
Jesus.
Hard to be on with Gleason. Oh.
Routine about the electric cars.
I know. I felt like that was new as well. I was like, oh, you fucker. It's funny and it's new.
Yeah. Yeah, it's great. But you were funny. Let's talk about your big bum. but there was a lot of people there.
Yeah, we had a heckler. Well, I did.
Oh, I've got to say, that was one of the best I've heard for a while.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
So what happened?
So I was asking... who's single, which I knew, because so Romsey, if you don't know, is it's an hour out of Melbourne. It's a tree change kind of.
Yes.
Like, sort of place. It's all, it's families, isn't it?
It's all families.
So already the question, are you single, was, you know, a long shot. And there was one woman who said yes. And I got into it with her, you know, why is she quite vocal. She was very vocal.
She sounded happy.
She was like, I'm the only person in town that's single. Back and forward, single. She kept piping up. It wasn't all me. I wasn't going it.
No.
And then I said one more time, you know, the single person will know. And then she yelled out, I'm a widow.
I'm a widow.
Oof.
Cheers.
Hello.
And the whole crowd goes, oh, my God.
And she's like, it was 3 years ago.
Was it 3 years ago?
Yes, what she said. Yeah, yeah.
But you handled it very well.
Well, I said, oh, because, of course, the audience went, ooh, I'm in trouble here. And I said to them, well, it's not my fault. I didn't kill him.
That's right.
You just got to stick to your guts.
You double down on it.
Yeah.
What you've got to do, because I always panic when that stuff. Oh, everyone panics. Oh, yeah. Like when Tom Gleason, he got a beauty too. Like, you saw our electric cars and he goes,
oh, yeah.
Why don't you guys have electric cars? And he's more just like, we're poor.
But as he said, work harder.
He said, work harder?
Just work harder. You can get to where I am.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So, it was fun.
It was fun. It was like in the school hall. Good setup. Good,
good times.
Good times.
So, you've been busy. I can't remember when I first met you. God.
Well, you know, of course, I've told you this before, that I was a big fan of your...
Also
Booko. On the on Triple R. And I used to come as a... What would I have been?
How old were you?
I reckon I would have been 18 or 19.
There weren't many 19-year-old girls coming to Otto Booko
show. Oh, really? But I had a group of mates. So we were all in uni. We were probably in, like, first year uni. And I had a solid group of mates, you know, that I met through uni that were all into Otto Booko. And they were all my age. So we used to love it. And my sister loved it, too.
So it was a show with Vic Blue.
Yeah.
And then Alan Parks. Parks, man! But it was mainly me and Vic over the years.
How long did you do it for?
Oh, God, about 8 years, I reckon.
Yeah.
Like, we were on a Sunday on Triple R, which
is
a community station.
Yeah.
And we used to do sketches.
So fun.
Phone pranks.
Yeah. Back when you could prank.
Oh, you could eat.
In the glory days.
But we never rang hospitals or
police. No, I
know. We just rang pizza shops. And
yeah, the classics.
You know, all the...
Yeah.
We had fun, but yeah, I loved it. But,
yeah.
Vic made friends with the listeners, and then, like, remember Bandicoot?
I do remember Bandicoot.
So he was like, I mean, Vic was a biography. Bandicoot was like a...
Yeah.
But Vic was a stand-up, a great stand-up.
Yeah.
But Bandicoot was just like some random guy living in Thailand or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And he just like had a big beard and he's a little guy and he... I don't know what he did. I think he worked... But he was always living in one... He lived for a while in a shed on the Thailand airport. The last I heard of him, he was living on a boat. So.
Yeah, right. But he doesn't like to live in conventional places.
No, but that show attracted a lot of unconventional people.
Yes.
Still to this day when I go and do, not a lot, but I did, what did I do the other day? Lean Gapper. And there were guys there with a cassette tape, because you put cassette tapes out.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And
he had them. Like, I'd love to get my hands on one of them.
Oh, we've got one at home. I can't care about my partner found one. But the thing was, you know what it was like? It was like podcasts are now.
Yes, yeah.
It was like a cult thing.
Yeah.
So we would do a live show and you get like 200 or 300 people.
Mm.
But if you did like a comedy show like tonight with a mainstream audience, there'd be one person there that would know you.
Yeah.
So it's very, I felt doing this podcast, it's very similar to podcasts.
Yes, very niche.
Triple R was. We didn't have fun. We didn't do anything to make comedy, so we had to get on public radio.
Yeah. My favourite character was a character called Crabman.
Crabman?
And he used to be like...
Oh, I can't remember.
The setup would be like, you know, I don't know if it was you or Vic, but it'd be probably both of you. And you'd be in a pub or something. And, you know, just be having a beer or whatever, and then you'd hear like scuttle, scuttle. You'd go, hang on a minute, that's not a man, that's a crab.
Yeah, we had a very good touch of the surreal.
That did.
There was a lot of, the Rickety Rocket Man, that was just bizarre. Rickety Rocket Man. It was just bizarre shit going on.
That's why I loved it. That's why... I think it appealed to my younger mates. There was a bit of Mighty Boosh, pre-Mighty Boosh going on.
And I'd say Mighty Python, but we were too young for Mighty Python.
Yeah.
Like we'd seen it, but we were a bit... And also, we were more the young ones.
Oh, right. Yep.
And then just... What else
was
going on?
So funny.
The other character, Chukra Maka, with the Bogan characters, Chukra Maka.
I guess...
They met their rich cousins, Oh, they had their cousins from Byron Bay called Chuffer and Smacker. They would come down and live with...
And you always used to go, I'll guess the secret sound, and it was always a beer opening.
That's big guess. And music to rub your...
So Vic, where's Vic?
Vic's living in a van on the river.
Oh, nice.
It's like I don't know if he's with Bandicoot.
You really need to get on live in something that moves.
Yes. Vic, what happened with Vic? So he stopped doing comedy.
Ah, what a shame.
He moved, he always wanted to move to a hotter climate.
Right.
So he always wanted to move to, so he moved to Coffs.
Oh, yep.
And I'm pretty sure he bought a house somewhere and then sold it. And he's living in out of his van somewhere.
Okay. Well, big shout out if he's listening.
Yeah.
Do you think he's listening? Probably not.
No. I think Vic, he was so, as my partner, who of course was around.
Yes.
Then, she was originally part of the team. She used to do some of the
Right.
She was good at accents, because she did.
Ah.
I'm making your fever tonight, Roscoe.
Oh, Roscoe.
I'm making your fever tonight, Roscoe. That was her. And so she always said Vic was one of the funniest persons she ever saw. As you know, the funniest people in comedy often give up.
Yes.
For whatever reasons.
Very true, yeah.
Whether it was drugs or alcohol or just...
Yeah, depression.
Depression and...
Or just told the wrong person to fuck
fucked.
Off
yes.
So many times.
There was a bit of that in Vic, but he would stick at jobs for a while and then... He was in the Full Frontal cast.
Ah, okay.
Channel 10 for a bit.
Yeah, nice.
He was a natural talent.
Very funny.
He just...
drifted off. Good. And probably much happier for it.
Yeah, and as we know, some of the worst people stick at it and become successful.
Yeah.
So you just go, why didn't Vic Parks?
Yeah, I know.
Parks Man was hilarious too, but just like...
Yeah.
I often thought I was the least funniest one out of all of them, but I had come from a more stable background, basically.
Yes.
And they were real... Well, I always say I'm working class, but they're real working class
guys.
Yeah,
right. Yeah.
And, you know, I went to uni. They didn't go to uni.
Mm, yeah.
So they kind of had more of that. Had done manual labour jobs.
Yeah.
Where I did that part time.
You've got soft hands.
I've got soft hands, and they had worked in tough jobs.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and often, if you're from a real blue collar background, coping with the comedy industry.
Oh,
is hard.
Yeah, totally.
It's better if you. When Vic wrote, we were on Full Frontal together, and Vic quit that. And he goes, it's like everyone in that writer's room has been to uni. I said, no, not all of them have.
No.
He goes, yeah, but they look like they have. And I'm like, yeah, you're right. They did all look like they'd been to uni.
Yeah.
They actually haven't, some of them.
Well, comedy now, you have to be very.
Business minded.
Yeah. Yeah.
What a technology.
Which doesn't go hand in hand with naturally funny, often.
No. And often the opposite. Those blue collar people are often the fun.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. So then when I would have met you like as an open micer,
yeah,
like at Spleen or somewhere, yeah. I was starstruck.
You're in awe.
I was like, here's
Dave. I remember talking to you at Soft Belly.
Ah, Soft Belly.
On those chairs, and you were saying I was an Oso Booker fan. I remember saying to you, I never saw any young women at gigs. But honestly, all just like bandicoot and hard and like blokes and.
Yeah, that's right. Soft Belly.
It wasn't as bad as who was that comic when he was walking to a gig in America? Who's that guy, Doug?
Doug Stanhope.
Yeah, he was walking towards his show and he saw all these people on the footpath. And his spotter goes, "We should cross the road. That looks dangerous." He goes, "There are warnings. We're going to go in." But also, Booker wasn't that bad. But it was good because of Triple R.
Yes.
I grew up listening to Triple R.
Oh, okay.
And I loved it because I loved alternative music.
Yeah,
so
yeah, yeah.
That's why I gravitated to.
Yeah, I see. Yeah, yeah.
But Vic, I mean, I was in charge of the music because Vic always just wanted to play the Angels. I'm like, mate, this is Triple R. We're going to play like the early models. We're going to play a bit alternative.
Yeah.
Cure.
He's like, oh, fuck that.
It's not time for the River Band. Not time for. But yeah, that's great memories. Great memories. Because like, then I went on to do Breakfast on Triple R.
Oh, yes.
So I was like, you know, they often used to choose their breakfast people from.
Other shows. Yeah. And that's where you met Kate and Sam Pang, or just Kate?
No, Sam Pang, but he was later. I met him at Triple R functions, when I'd left, but I used to see him around, absolutely. Yeah. And Tony Wilson and people like that. And,
yeah, cool.
And, Kate used to ring up. What her thing was, we'd be live on air, and she'd ring up. We'd do a phone prank, right, say, we ran out of the museum, and then she came on air and said, I need to speak to you. I'm quite happy to go on air. I'm from the museum. I'm the lawyer. We're going to sue you, boys. And we're like,
Oh no.
And we're live on air. She's going, yes. Because she's got an accent.
Yeah, she's really.
And we're shitting ourselves. And then she would just start laughing. Oh, it's Kate from Breakfasters. I'm like, oh, fuck it, hell, mate. Yeah, she used to prank us live on air. She used to make us shit ourselves.
Oh, I miss pranking. God, it was a good time. I used to spend hours pranking.
Oh, did you?
Back in the day. You're just, you know, ringing up, movies, love a prank.
We loved it.
Yeah, it's good. Nothing funnier than trying to not laugh while you're on a prank. That'd be a prank
call. Even to this day when I hear a good phone prank, have you heard the India one where the guys ring up the talk back? I don't know who they were, but they rang up an AM station in Sydney for a quiz. And every time we got asked the question, they'd say India.
Oh, right.
And so we're going on a real roll. So he goes, who was the president of the United States in 1956? Yeah, I know this one, Neil. I know it. India. He's like, no, that's... And the guy it's on YouTube. He gets increasingly angrier. And then obviously some random people started ringing up saying it. It is very funny. Right?
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't know. Have you ever been victim to a prank?
Take it on the chin, I reckon.
Take it on the chin.
I used to work at Melbourne University. I went there, surprisingly, and then I got a job there. That's where.
Yeah. You're one of those people who just hung around.
Yeah, well, I thought this is pretty cruisy.
Like the activities officer. Yeah.
So I had access to the letterhead, and I wrote really cruel in hindsight. My mate was doing teaching at Melbourne Uni and not studying much or whatever. And I wrote her an official letter from the university, kicking her out.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And she came and the worst bit was she turned to me with it and read it back to me, like, word for word. She's like, what am I going to do? And I was like, oh, gotcha. She was like,
Well, I don't like, yeah, that's funny, though. But also you knew her. I remember they did a prank. Steve Bedwell was on South Australian radio, and they did a prank where they rang up William Shakespeare, who had a hit in the 70s with My Little Angel.
That's a long time ago.
And they said they were from a record company, they got to re-sign him and put him on tour and everything.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it was, and then they rang him up the next day and wanted to interview him. They said, so what's been going on? Well, actually, very good news. I'm just going to be signed. And they said, no, that was us. Gotcha. Woo!
You know what I reckon the trick with pranks is you've got to go from bad to good. Like, you've got to be like, you're kicked out of uni. No, you're not.
Yeah.
Not you've won a car. No, you haven't.
Yeah, it's true.
It's got to be like, it's got to be a
good
relief.
Relationship.
Result. Yeah, outcome.
Right.
Yeah, that's the trick.
That's so true. Anyway, you've had a good career. I mean, you did.
Is it over?
Is it over?
You're gonna drop me somewhere at Melbourne Airport? Go. You've had a good career. Get out.
I'm gonna tell Lloyd that. I had a chat during the car. She's gone to Queensland. Yeah.
No, there's no comedy up there.
Get up there. you did stand up for a long time though on the circuit, didn't you?
Yes. Yeah, like I did. I think I started in.
You
just started 2008 or 2009 or something.
Yeah.
I used to try and do character stuff really early on.
Yeah. You played the instruments too.
Yeah, I used to play instruments until I got sick of dragging. The banjo was too heavy, and they used to say come in at 4 o'clock for the sound check. And I was like, how about I don't do this anymore? I started trying to do character stuff in this open mics and quickly realised. That was a bad idea.
Well, when I started, though, I used to do a character, too.
All right.
An employed character. But there were more characters when I started.
Yeah.
A hangover from the 80s. Like,
it wasn't a thing when I was starting.
Not 2000. Remember there used to be a few, there was European Man?
Yes, Ted Wilson.
He was great.
He's a mate of mine.
He's great.
So then I just started doing straight, you know, I guess you do that when you're starting out a bit, don't you?
You've got a test.
You use all these, you tend to use a few novelty things.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, what can I do? I'll play music. I'll put a mustache on until finally go, just do stand-up.
Yeah, well.
You know, stand-up's actually the hardest to do, really.
Yeah.
So it takes, you know, to be good at it. And then, just did a lot of open mics, working it up, you know. That's the old way.
What was your big break? I'm trying to think through your career. You probably had a series of small breaks.
I didn't have I reckon I got signed by a manager after about my sixth show at the festival.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, about then. I probably had that probably was a show where I thought, looked at the audience and went, some of you are here because you know who I am.
Yeah.
Up until then, you're just sort of like dealing with people wandering off the street or whatever you're trying to do. So maybe, I don't know. I don't reckon I've had a big break as such. I've just just kind of get on a bit of TV and then you get, you know, and I think if you just keep turning up to the festival and doing good shows, eventually it sort of pays off.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah.
Well, then, but get cracking and doing Helen.
That was big, yeah.
That was huge.
Helen Badoo. Yeah, yeah.
That was one of the biggest breakout characters in the last 5 years.
I'm
trying to think of a character that's, you know, we had Chris Lilley and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And then there's not a lot of.
Well, character comedy isn't pop.
No.
Well, I mean, sketch comedy's dead on the TV.
It's on your phone.
Totally.
But
yeah.
On YouTube and stuff.
Yeah.
But TV. But Helen.
Yeah, she was. She spoke to a lot of people.
Oh, my wife just kept rewatching it and just loved Helen.
She's loose.
And
Helen.
Then would like talk about what are you giving the husband? I'm like, it's made up, isn't it? Like, what's a husband like?
The backstory.
The backstory of Helen. And we would say, yeah, she was probably in sales, I reckon.
Well, she worked at the DFO. Was her backstory?
Oh, that was she worked at the DFO.
Yeah, the Essendon Airport. Yeah. She's from Nidri.
Oh, she's from Nidri?
Yeah, she's from Nidri.
Wow. She'd say Essendon, probably.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I'm from Strathmore, but I say I'm from Essendon.
Yeah, right. Yeah. That's where Glenn Robbins is from.
I know, isn't that weird?
Adam Rosenbach.
Yep, yep. Yep, Glenn Robbins. Yep, and no, Adam.
First off, I did their footy club.
Strathmore Football Club.
God.
My dad was the chairman of that for a little while.
Oh, God. I did their old, like, guys my age. Boy, it was rough.
Yeah, it's rough. Still rough there.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
I was saying before, at the gig there was like a float in the Mardi Gras Helen, you know?
Yeah. Well, I wasn't on it, but
no,
some...
but men dressed up as Helen.
Didn't get any money.
No, exactly.
No, I mean, that's great. Yeah, I mean, it was incredible, that character. It was, and I'm still, like, she's still there.
Bring her back.
I'll probably bring her back,
that's
yeah.
Unbelievable. That's your Paula Fruiterer, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's your Uncle Arthur.
Yeah.
That character should have its own TV show.
I know.
Well, you did a live show, didn't you?
I did a live show of her, yeah, with Sam Campbell.
Sam Campbell, he's so funny.
He was my son in the show, yeah. And I just sort of beat him down all night
and
long.
And who was your husband? That was
Oliver Clark.
Oh, great.
Yeah, yeah, Simon.
Simon, that's yeah. Right, Simon.
Simon!
I think my wife loved it so much because she would unhinge.
Yeah, that's right.
And have a breakdown. Which yeah. People can relate to that.
Well, it's sort of, especially at the moment, everyone's sort of, you know, like Instagram culture, everyone's got a smile on their face. But you scratch under the surface and everyone's just about to snap.
There's shit going on.
There's a lot of shit going on. Everyone's too busy, everyone's up to their eyeballs in debt.
Busy's become a currency. It's like, I'm so busy. I just try to stand up about it. It's so true. It's so busy.
Yeah, a woman said to me yesterday, because you live in Fairfield, right?
Clifton Hill, near Fairfield.
Oh, I thought you were in Fairfield.
No, I'm Clifton Hill.
I don't know, then this story doesn't make any sense.
No, go on. And people think I live in Fairfield because I run the gig at the pub there.
Yeah, right.
People always think I live in Fairfield.
Well, weirdly, a woman said to me, I used to live in Fairfield. I hated the people there. I was like, oh, right. I live not far from there. I said, oh, what? Why?
Well, people are fine in Fairfield.
I know. It was really odd. I said, where have you moved to? And she said, Ivanhoe. I'm like, oh.
Well,
yeah. I go, oh, what, with the BMW mums? She goes, yeah, but Fairfield, they're all angry in Fairfield because none of them can afford the houses they bought.
Oh, okay.
She reckons that everyone's up to their eyeballs in debt in Fairfield.
Absolutely. But Ivanhoe would be the same.
I would have thought so.
But people that don't know, Ivanhoe's a posher suburb.
Yeah.
Because I always say when I do the pub in Fairfield, anyone from Ivanhoe?
Yeah.
Have you still got that toll gate stopping, immigrants coming through and stuff? Unless they're a doctor, they can go through.
Yeah.
It's very white, Ivanhoe.
Very. So it was a very strange conversation to me. But anyway.
Was she posh herself? Or?
No. No, she looked more like she belonged in Fairfield, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
If you're listening, big shout out. Nice to meet you in the nice to meet you in the park.
We have random conversations in the park, though.
Yeah, you do with kids.
Oh.
You get forced. It's like dogs. You get forced together.
Oh, and also your kids make friends.
I know.
So I remember going around to like my older son, and he's like, "Oh, I've got to go," and I had to go pick him up, and the parents are playing Michael Bublé. Not ironically, they're just like, "We love
Bublé." Oh man, there's a lot of parent politics in the park, like where you,
yes,
like because you know kids, toddlers hit each other, and that's fine, like it's part of them growing up or whatever. But I feel like as a parent, you got to get involved and go, oh, no, don't do that.
Yeah.
There's a lot in the park, I find, of a kid punching Gwen and the parent just kind of looking on sadistically. Oh, like,
really?
Yeah. Heaps.
And the parents, so you're in the inner, you're near me in the inner north.
Yeah,
are they
yeah.
friendly, though, in the park? They talk to you? The
some of them, and some of them are.
Yeah. One of my friends moved to Kew, which is, again,
yes.
a posh area.
Yeah.
He said, no one talks to you.
Really? No. It's like no. head down. Yeah, I just find that, like, because I don't mind the punching, because I think that's what kids do.
Yes.
But I feel like you've got to make a token effort to go, come on. Don't do that. You know, we're going to go home if you get, or something. But some parents just go, yeah, cop it, sweet, you know.
That's weird.
Mm.
That's weird. Yeah,
so I punch them in that.
Well, I remember my son was, like, pushed off a slide or something like that.
Oh.
And the woman said to me, he's not in childcare, is he, your son? I'm like, no, he's not. He's not used to the rough and tumble.
No, that's no.
Like,
passing the buck.
Yeah.
Mm.
I remember once when our kids were really little, and they were just like about 3 days. I didn't know these guys at all. Just down the park, it was like Sunday morning at 9:00, and one of the dads just said, "Remember we used to have sex, guys?"
Oh, really?
just out of the blue, didn't know it at all. He's having a deep think to himself. Remember that? Yeah, okay.
Oh well.
You've got to
put it behind you.
So yeah. Gwen's two.
Gwen's two. Oh. She's two in a week, yeah.
That's funny, your routine about Lloyd, how you trapped him.
Yeah, got him. Yeah, poor Lloyd, he's stuck. Well, he came here at the very beginning of the first he arrived in January, and we were both in Adelaide in March doing the Fringe, and that's when COVID hit. I don't know if you were at that Adelaide Fringe, but it just became evident. Within the space of 4 days, everything was gone.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Like on
that.
The Friday, everyone was like, oh, yeah.
So 2020?
2020.
Yeah.
On the Friday, we were like, oh, I guess, no, it should be all right. Keep doing your show.
I remember my last gig was in March in Canberra for the Defence Academy. Oh, with young soldiers.
Like, do your show tonight. It should be fine. By the next day, it was like, don't do your show. And by the Monday, it was like, get home ASAP.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
Yeah. So anyway, so then Lloyd was stuck here because for a while he wasn't allowed to leave the country, and then the problem was because he wasn't an Australian citizen or permanent resident. If he left the country, they would never have let him back in.
Yeah, right.
So he was trapped, and then I got pregnant and he was really trapped then because he couldn't go anywhere.
Oh, well, he likes it here, then.
He loves it here. Yeah, he loves it here.
British Welsh people, they just love it here.
Yeah, yeah. I think the laid-backness of it here suits him, his personality. And
yeah, he's laid-back. I just remember being at the pub talking to a British couple, and there was another British couple walking along here, and then they said, oh, yeah, we're going back to England. And the British couple that was sitting there said, you're going the wrong way.
It's so true. Well, I mean, we've spent a bit of time in London. It's full on. And I guess once you have kids as well,
it's like hard with kids. Little kids.
If you know what you've had in Australia and what you could have, it's hard to justify it, really.
Yeah.
Because you're like, oh, beach park.
Yeah.
Clean air.
Yeah.
Sun's out.
Good food. Like, London can be good. You have to have a lot of money.
To live there well. Yeah.
I just remember when Anna Hills moved there with his wife, and they had small kids, and after a while, she's went.
Fair enough.
Yeah. You stay in your TV show, I'm gone. I'm gone, so yeah. But also, you might get a bit of support from your family here.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, it just life's a bit easier here.
Yeah, and he's done well.
He loves it. Yeah. He's around. Yeah.
He's kicking on.
Yeah, he does the festival.
He's diverse. He's Welsh.
That's right. Big time.
Big time. Anyway, here we are. So, I'll ask my questions.
All right. I didn't know you had questions.
I know, they're just like, I've got them on the internet about what. I ask everyone these questions. They're just about the gig. What went well tonight and why? What did you feel went well in your gig?
Well, I think because, as I said on the way up here, I hadn't done stand up for 5 months because I did a musical.
I've got to talk about that.
Yeah.
So, Bloom.
Which is set in the aged care home.
Yeah, that looked great.
It was great, it was an amazing experience.
And you were the lead, weren't you?
Yeah. I was the evil woman that ran the home.
Really?
It was pinching pennies. I was the villain, which I enjoyed. I liked that role.
And so Frankie J, what was he?
Frankie J was one of the old people in the home. Yeah, like, you know.
Get a job, Shana.
Yeah. But it was written by Tom Gleisner.
Yeah, well, he's
in his spare time. Yeah.
I know. God, what's he doing?
Emerges from lockdown with a musical.
He's always loved musicals, though, hasn't he?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, he does.
Yeah.
So, anyway, so with that in mind, I went out on, I think, Wednesday and tried to do a stand-up gig, and, you know. So I thought, oh, my God. Like, I agreed to do this for 12 months ago. And I was pretty worried, actually. I didn't know. So my favourite part of the gig was... So I was really, like, just drilling through the material, trying to remember it. Then I got heckled by that woman. And that was my favourite part of the gig. Because then
that
I was like...
Funny.
I was like, oh, yeah, I can do this. Like, I know how to do this.
Yeah,
like,
that was funny.
Yeah, so that to me was... And then I felt loose and fine.
And what didn't go well? It didn't not go well?
I didn't think I was not very present in the first half of it.
Okay, yeah.
I was trying to remember the stuff.
It can happen.
Like. Yeah, I was just like, I was just a bit worried. And you never, stand up, you don't want to be worried ever.
Well, that's it. And often you're on stage and you go, I've got to do that ironing when I get home.
I know, yeah.
Well, I know I'm meant to be here.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, good. And with any organisational hazards have gone the way, in terms of organising, it's pretty well organised.
No, I thought it was amazing. Well, you're always going to be in safe hands if there's a comedian that's been involved in organising.
Tom ran a very good
show. So, because you know as a comic what the hell you've been through. Oh. You're in the corner of a room with an amp or whatever it is. We've done them all. So, no, I didn't think so. Like, it was all... Yeah, you know, even there was a nice back... Sometimes they don't even give you a backstage. No. Just like, just stand over there.
Yeah, I know. Stand with the people.
Yeah, no, so I think because Tom was on it, it was good. There wasn't any... You know, sometimes as well as at those sort of corporate-y or charity gigs, you can get a very long introduction that's...
Yes.
Sometimes they read about something Wikipedia very page. Sad or...
Yeah. Or they get up and talk about the school.
Yes. And I think obviously Tom would be like, nah, no, I'll get up. Do some jokes, bring him on.
Yeah, he's so funny.
So funny. God. What a funny man.
Unreal. And my last question, how can we do better next time? I would have loved to have an ice cream, actually.
They offered me a waffle, but I was conscious that you might have...
I've got to hang around.
Well, I know, but the problem I felt was going to happen was you had to drive, and I would have been here getting into a waffle.
Yeah,
and you just would have been fasting. Full of resentment.
Yeah, fucking. Adam's got a waffle.
She can barely speak.
Waffles are the things that you never have really had.
I love waffles. Waffle. I fucking love it. It was just heartbreaking when I'd go, oh, no, I'm fine, thanks.
It's like better than a pancake.
I agree. They had chocolate sauce and that. It was like mega loaded, they said. It was going to be mega loaded.
I saw that on the chalkboard. Mega loaded.
So that was a shame. What could we do better?
No.
I mean, I could have done more open mics in the lead up, but I, you know.
No, you're fine.
I'm a mum.
You're a mum, you're a 2-year-old.
Yeah.
You were on TV last week, you're chilling.
I'm tired. I'm Celebrity Gogglebox, I'm watching the TV.
Oh, yeah, you gotta watch that.
I'm on the TV watching the TV. That's how busy I am.
What shows? Did you say what shows you did? Or?
Yeah. Oh, I don't know if I'm allowed.
Oh, okay.
No, probably.
When's it go to air?
Next week.
This won't be out then.
Oh, maths. Which I'm a maths fan.
You're a maths fan, yeah.
MasterChef, all the classics, you know. Sports Package. Real Housewives.
Oh yeah.
Oh, we watched actually the John Farnham doco. So you don't watch the whole thing.
Yeah, you watch bits.
But I'd seen that, and it's awesome. Have you seen it?
No.
Oh, it's awesome. You'd love it.
Watch it. Yeah.
It's really good.
It's a good show, Google Box. So it's a simple show, but
it's really good. Yeah, I liked it. So that Lloyd and I did that.
Working with
partner, I know. I was worried about having a comedian as a partner because I thought, you know, like
it's quite unusual, isn't it?
Yeah, it is a bit. I'm trying to think if there's any others in this. There are overseas. I know comedian couples overseas, but there's not that
many. Yeah, who here? Denise Scott's husband's a clown.
Yeah.
I can't think of anyone.
There's Conchetta, who's a new comedian.
Oh, she's funny.
Yeah, she's really funny. And Ben, her partner, Cox, he's really funny.
Oh!
Too. Yeah, they're a couple.
I didn't know they were a couple.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, right.
But yeah, it's not that common. But because the worry is that you would worry that you would talk about comedy at home.
Yeah.
But we don't really.
Nah.
We talk, you know, we gossip. Like, you come home from a gig and go, oh, guess what?
Yeah.
Guess who bombed?
Yeah.
My favourite conversation.
Yes,
you
bombed.
But
we don't actually. That doesn't do well. I don't know who that voice is. I only laugh because it used to happen to me a lot. It's the only reason I'm laughing a lot. Yeah.
I love watching. Well, we all comedians love a bomb.
I don't like it.
You don't like it?
It's too awkward.
Oh, Lloyd's a bit like that. He doesn't enjoy it as much as me.
I don't like it. I just find it. I have to leave the room. Like,
oh, really?
This is not cool.
Oh. Oh, see, I There must be something evil inside of me that enjoys it.
People have different stuff.
But, yeah.
I find it interesting, but I'm like...
Yeah, right. Yeah. It's good for gossip, though.
Yeah, it is good for gossip. Absolutely.
Yeah.
When we turn this tape record off, we'll go to recent bombs. Cool. Well, keep your eyes peeled for Ann Edmonds, everyone.
Yeah.
She's coming back. Not that she went away.
No.
She's still on the TV.
Yeah, I'm around.
You're around. And Helen Boudreau. Boudreau.
Boudreau. She'll be back.
Oh, she has to come back.
Yeah, I'll get to it.
Yeah, sure. Of course.
God, we're almost in Melbourne.
We are.
Time flies when you make a podcast on the way up.
Legally. Thanks, Anne.
No worries. Bye.